And Captain Medina lied as well. And admitted later in the end that he had lied. This was the man you had seen shooting a girl.
Well, his scenario when he was on in his court-martial, they believed his scenario rather than mine, I guess, at the time.
You stayed 13 years in the service after that. It wasn't the same, though, was it, for you?
I'd, as fast as it came up after the court-martial, it died down.
But you were ostracized for a while, weren't
for
you?
A while. But
you'd go into the officer's mess and everybody would disappear?
Yeah. That's when it first broke and people didn't know the facts and they forgot all about it very soon after it happened.
But personally, you paid a heavy price in terms of depression, didn't you, over the years? A lot of nightmares that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
Four marriages.
There's been multiple marriages.
It's been hard for you to carry around, hasn't it?
No. It's life, you know. You just got to do it, you know. Life goes on.
Can you ever forgive the people who did that?
No. I can't. I don't think I'm man enough to. Because I know the pain and suffering that they inflicted for no reason. No reason whatsoever. There was no threat. There was no enemy. Now, they might have all grown up to be enemy, but that's not what a soldier does in any country. It's not.
And when you think of those who walked away from it, got on with their lives,
they
had
got
children, set up businesses.
They got to live with themselves. I imagine some of them don't have an easy time. I'm okay with what I did. I know the unnecessary pain and suffering. I know how fragile a human life is.
In 1969, Rusty Calley, the officer who was on the ground, who was eventually held responsible, was flown back for an identification parade. You were asked to identify him.
Mm-hmm.
What went through your mind when you saw that?
I knew I'd seen him, and I couldn't remember whether it was at the ditch or the bunker, but I knew he was one of them. And that's it, because I blocked a lot of that out of my mind. A whole lot. I think that's God's way of maintaining sanity.
Only 25 officers and enlisted men were prosecuted. Only a handful ever came to trial. Only one man was found guilty, and he served 4.5 months behind bars.
No, I think 3 days.
3 days? And a little bit of house arrest.
Oh, yeah, he had a lot of house arrest with conjugal visits. Now, that's a rough life.
This was a farce, wasn't it? Army justice was a farce.
In that case, the Army justice system's a good justice system. Now, I do believe that, yes, it let us down. It let the Army down. I think it let the United States down.
It let you down as well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not many people said thank you, did they?
Oh, nobody did.
You got intimidated. You got dead animals left on your porch. Mm-hmm. You got threatened by Congress. One of the congressmen in the inquiry even suggested that you should be put behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't get many thanks from a grateful nation, did you?
I didn't get any. But it's not the nation's fault. You know, they were, I think.
But you stopped the killing, and Rusty Calley had Jimmy Carter, who was then governor of Georgia, rooting for him. You had flags flying at half mast on state legislatures. You had this man being proclaimed on radio stations as a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And you, who stopped the killing, were being ostracized.
Yeah, it'll make you think. Yeah, I had a hard time one day going into Georgia because that's where Cali was court-martialed. And he's, I think, originally from Florida, and I'm a Georgia native. And I'm hearing my governor on the radio say, leave your lights on today to show support for Lieutenant Cali. What's this world coming to? But the people didn't have the facts. That's what it was. You believe something that the high-ranking congressman says, it should be true. But low-ranking congressmen were standing off to the side and asked one another, was he in the same room I was in? You know, because they heard that I said there was a massacre, and he says, I saw nothing to indicate there was any wrongdoing. And it was secret testimony, and I couldn't say anything, because believe me, I was under a gag order, and I was scared that I was going to go to jail. And so I wasn't talking to anybody.
Hugh Thompson, you went back to My Lai.
Mm-hmm.
You went back also on the 30th anniversary. There was no official representative of the American government there, was there? Not one.
I guess I'd be the only representative of the American government there.
You met
one
of the women who survived, several people who survived. Mm-hmm. What did they say to you?
Thanked me. One of them came from out of nowhere. You know, we didn't know she was coming, and an interpreter brought her up and says, want to meet Mr. Thompson. And everybody was kind of shocked. And Mr. Wallace said, well, here's Mr. Thompson. And she wanted to know why, and I was very upset that, you know, I couldn't answer. Sorry I couldn't help her. Because I'd always wondered in my mind, did somebody there know that not all Americans were crazy and went mad that day? I wonder if I ever knew somebody was trying to help. And boy, I was real happy when she knew we tried to help. And she thanked me, and I told her I was sorry I couldn't help her that day. And then going through the interpreter, it was real difficult because they only say like a half a sentence at a time. And she asked, you know, why didn't the people that had done the killing come back with us? And God, I lost it, you know. I can't, how to answer this, you know. And I was getting ready to, and then she finished the sentence and said, so we could forgive them. And, oh my God, it was over with for me right then, because that just tore me up. These people, my enemies, you know, have that much forgiveness in their hearts. And I'm not man enough to forgive my own people who did it. I can't do it.
But you lecture. You've lectured at West Point. You've lectured at the Naval Academy.
I call it talking. I don't lecture.
And you've counseled.
Yeah.
Veterans.
Mm-hmm. I still work with veterans every day, trying to help them.
And what do you tell them about My Lai?
I don't have to tell them anything. Now, some of the ones I work with know about it. Well, all of them know about it now, I guess. I don't have to tell them anything. I have never talked at a military or a veterans function where anybody hadn't agreed with me. Because if you get somebody, you know, I don't cut down or brigade a soldier. I think a soldier in the Army or Navy or Marine Corps is a very honorable profession. These were not soldiers. These were hoodlums and terrorists disguised like soldiers. No soldier is taught to do that. If he does something like that, he's no longer a soldier because he's not living by the creed of a soldier.
I think it's time to remind people of that, given what's been going on in Iraq.
I think it's very obvious it's time to remind them again.
Hugh Thompson, it's been good having you on the program. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.